Welcome to the Hoffman Dark Side webinar, the first Hoffman Dark Side webinar ever, as far as I'm aware, at least in the UK Institute. What's the point of this? There are explicit intentions and really desired outcomes from this. I'd like to support you refreshing your memory about what the dark side is. What we do on the Hoffman process is we name the dark side. And I know that it was something that I kind of knew but didn't have a name for when I did my process. And even just naming it, even just identifying it as a syndrome, as a theme, helped me enormously, because I think up until that point, I had the strong impression that it was me, that it really was an essential part of me. And I've come to see it as a syndrome, and just to be able to distance myself from it by saying, look, it's not me, it's a thing, and we'll come to what that thing is in a while, it's already an awful lot less powerful. The Rumpelstiltskin myth speaks of this, doesn't it? I don't know if you know that fairy tale, but it's when the little girl names the great monstrous baddie, that the great monstrous baddie turns into a silly little thing, a silly little man. And a bit like in The Wizard of Oz, when they pull back the curtain, the great monster is reduced, has feet of clay. So we'll refresh memories. We'll also identify this evening, it's only 90 minutes, but we can do a lot. And we're going to identify when and where the dark side is active in your life. So not just naming it as a thing, but being able to spot it as it arrives, and also to see where it is active. And then, of course, because we're very solution focused at Hoffman, to take action to disempower it. So we're going to do those three things. We're going to identify it, we're going to refresh our memories, and we're going to disempower it, disconnect it. What does that mean? It means putting the spiritual self back in the driving seat. So a little parable in a way. It's actually not a parable, it's a true story. It's a friend of mine, a close friend, who rang me once to say, would I look over the details of a house that they were about to buy. A big decision and a close friend. And she said, you know, would you look it over? Because you know me. It feels like a big decision. I'm about to pull the lever. Will you just look at the details? So I got them up online and I looked at them. And I have to say, I couldn't enthuse. And I've got patterns of politeness and sort of pleasing and that kind of thing. And even me, I found it difficult to say, great, yeah, well done, congratulations. I found myself saying, because they were a close friend, do you know what? I have to be honest, I don't see this being the right place for you, or at least the you that I think I know. You know, why would you choose a place with this or with that? I can't remember what it was, the size of the garden or even just the vibe of the place and the lack of light, I thought. And then it turned out, as the conversation unfolded, that my friend was not in a good place in their life, and they were feeling rushed into buying the house, and it wasn't a natural choice for them at that moment. So it wasn't a vision-led, spiritual self-led decision. So their dark side was in charge of a really momentous decision. And I found myself saying to them, okay, just stop, breathe. You don't have to pull the lever. Do some work, do a little spiritual practice, do some meditating, do some guided visualizations, do a bit of a bash, do whatever you need to do, but then come back to it and look at it again. Anyway, I got a call a few days later and said, have a look at this one. And it was just the place that she had chosen when she was in touch with her spiritual self compared to the place that she almost made a massive decision about was just night and day. So I guess I flagged that one up as a sort of be warned. When we allow our dark side to be the driving force in our decision-making, and it's whether or not we have a cappuccino, well, it doesn't matter. But if it's whether or not we buy a house, that might be something we have to live with. So really, really important to identify it and to take action to disempower it, and to have the spiritual self back in the driving seat, making the choices. What can we do with that? Well, we can relaunch our lives on our right road, and we can manifest our vision. The good thing about the left road, right road, is no matter how far down the left road we may have found ourselves, there's always a fork in the road. We just make one. And when we disempower the dark side, making that fork in the road and taking a right turn becomes much, much more doable. I'm going to ask you what you remember about the dark side, what it means to you, in a moment. And in fact, there'll be two or three moments during the webinar this evening where I'm going to ask you to just spontaneously unmute yourself and speak when you want to. And then we can do any questions that you may have, or just the sharing that I'm going to ask you to do. So I'm going to do that in a moment. But first of all, if I may, I'm going to lead you through a very brief guided visualization just to prepare you, prepare us all for the work that we're about to do in the coming hour and a bit. So make yourselves really comfortable, settle in, adjust your body, and begin, of course, with a really conscious breath in. And in your own time, let out a big, big old sigh. Discharge any tension you may be feeling in your body with one or two more of those. So really, let it go. Let your shoulders drop and let your eyes gently close. And become really aware of the breath that you are drawing into your lungs and you're processing in your lungs, oxygenating your blood. And then the breath that you're breathing out, you're receiving and giving, like a tide rising and subsiding your chest with each breath in and out. And because you're oxygenating your blood in a rather poetic and in some ways quite real sense, you can breathe into every part of your body. You can imagine that you're directing your breath and your oxygenated blood right down to your toes. Give them a bit of a wiggle into your fingertips. Give them a little bit of a stretch. And then back up through your feet, your ankles, your calves, your knees, your thighs. Back up your wrists, your forearms, your elbows, your upper arms, your shoulders. Breathe that life force, that consciousness, that awareness, that spirit up through your torso, your chest, your heart. Fill your body with breath, fill your body with life. And as you do, relax your body, relax your face, relax your jaw, relax your brain. Let every cell of your body consciously relax. Let your emotional self relax. Let your intellect relax. And have a little connection, just a little connection to your spiritual self, the part of you that encouraged you to come aboard this evening, the part of you that is at the heart of every spirit-led initiative in your life, everything that you do that's positive, everything that you do for transformation, for change, for growth, for learning, for love, for light, comes from your spiritual self. So see that part of you, see that face. beaming out your qualities. And perhaps with it, allow memories of times in your life when you've been connected to your spiritual self to come alive in you. Perhaps memories from your Hoffman process, loving connection with yourself and others, innocent, childlike play, or maybe memories of yourself in nature, connected to nature with animals, maybe, or just trees, woodland, beaches, sea, air, water, mountains. That part of you that connects to nature because you are part of nature. Or perhaps memories from creativity. So by that I mean anything that you do that lights you up. It doesn't have to be what we conventionally call creative. It could be anything, anything that you do that inspires you and opens you up, absorbs you. So take a breath, and as you do, drop into your spiritual self. Drop into your spiritual self and take yourself back through the eyes of your spiritual self to your own Hoffman process experience of the dark side. At least one moment that we all have in common where we disempowered our dark side and we made the voice of our spiritual self louder. So remember perhaps the drumming with your shoe. What I remember so much about that was the way the rhythm of my little tribe came together, changed, stopped being in rhythm, went back into rhythm again. People's voices by that stage in the week really empowered. Even I had dropped a lot of resistance by that stage. And just this slow dropping into a trance that we do, the rather magical collective tribal drumming that we did together. And then the standing in a circle around the little brazier, the little fire, declaring the dark side's lies and reclaiming our qualities. The dark side told me that I was, and that was a lie. And I claim back my innocence, my beauty, my courage, my creativity. I'm just bringing that to life again, that memory. And now allow yourself with that anchoring, with that awareness of your spiritual self's louder voice, allow yourself to face very honestly what the dark side is to you. We'll talk about it in detail in a moment. What do you remember about it? And what did addressing it on your Hoffman process give you that you didn't already have? For me, just that awareness, just knowing that I was in a dark side attack, as we call it, that I was having a dark side attack, just knowing that that's what it was, gave me a little distance from my patterns, gave me a little purchase on some choice. What did it mean for you? Okay. So taking a breath and opening your eyes, and spontaneously, whoever would like to, we've got a time for a couple of shares. Who would like to share what the experience of identifying the dark side gave you and it means to you? What do you understand it to mean? Go ahead and unmute when you're ready.
Hi.
Oh, hello. Hello, Grania.
I've been thinking about this quite a lot recently, and this is really beautifully brought it up for me. For me, my dark side is being stuck in a frozen former state of childhood and flipping back into it without knowing. It's sort of insidious and cunning. And so when I go into a dark side state, I haven't realized that I flicked back into that. And what became clearer to me when doing the process was that's what was happening, and B, that it isn't who I am. It's not the essence of me. It's not my personality. It's something that happened to me that sometimes comes back, and I can recognize that, and that helps me to move beyond it, put it to one side.
So just that awareness that it's not who you are, and also that it is a thing, and that we've given it a name. Lovely. Yeah, great. Nice to see you both. Anyone else like to share? Thank you.
Yeah. For me, the dark side is sort of form-based gratification. Form-based as in the opposite to formless.
Yeah.
Formless being the spiritual side, the spirit and the true essence of who I am. And on the other flip side, the dark side is the form-based gratification, materialism, perfection in that, trying to, you know, nothing's ever good enough. So trying to,
So for you, the pattern of perfectionism comes up when the dark side's around, and it's to do with the sort of material world in a way. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Hugo. That's great. One more. Go on. One more. Let's hear one more. Who's up for a share?
Yeah. Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. To me, the dark side was a thing that made me trust it to the extreme, where I just trusted everything it says. You know, because this was all the reactions I had towards the outer world that surrounds me. So when it tells me that I'm not good enough, I trust it. And then I start wanting to impress everyone around me. And then people applauded because I was trying so hard to impress people. So I trusted even more. And then I started doing everything it says until I just realized that this is not who I am. I have to impress myself first to be happy, and then like attend to other people's needs if I can.
Lovely insight. And yes, it's a very persuasive voice, and it feels like it's keeping us safe, doesn't it? It feels like good and wise counsel, feels like realism. So we'll come to that in a moment. Realism is possibly the biggest lie of the dark side. It says, I'm realistic, listen to me. Absolutely not, but we'll come to see it. So wonderful, really nice insights. I love all that, and very different to hear each of you. Let's get some of the dark side kind of core curriculum out there. And if you are a taking notes sort of person, you can do that with your workbook. And if you're not, then don't worry, it's not important. You can just process this in the way that you like. If it was me, I'd probably be drawing pictures mostly, because that's how I do it. So whatever feels right to you. The dark side, dear Hoffman graduates, is a part of human nature. So let's get that one really clear. It's an essential part of human nature. You simply cannot have light without dark, and we are also light. So we are also dark. It's part of our range. I think the yin-yang symbol expresses this extremely beautifully, profoundly, the white and the dark on both sides and the little bit in each. There's a lot that you could make of that. It's an essential part of human nature. It is a parasite on the intellect. So it is the collective personification of all your patterns. I'm thinking of your question, Alison, here. It is the collective personification of all your patterns. We make it into a face that we can do business with on the Hoffman process, because we need to have a dialogue with it. Otherwise, it's too vague, it's too wafty, too ethereal. We can't actually have a relationship. So we draw a picture of it. We give it a face. We give it eyes, a nose. You cannot get rid of it. And I think that's worth putting out there, even though often the energy drops when we face that reality. But you absolutely can manage it. So one of the many genius elements of the Hoffman process, for me at least, has been this idea that we introduce the concept of the dark side at the stage we do on the Hoffman process. I remember thinking, this is great, I thought, and I'd been very resistant and had quite a difficult Hoffman process up until that point myself. And I thought, this is great. Why didn't we just do this on the first day? Because, I mean, it would have saved me an awful lot of kind of resistance if I could have. I really related to it. I really got it. And all that sort of stuff, pretending to bash for hours, for me, speaking for myself, you know, I did get there in the end, by the way, but I had to do the remedial Q2 class to really get there. But what for me was this just clear clarity. Oh, I've got this thing that undermines me. Why didn't we do it at the beginning? Well, that's the genius of the choreography of the Hoffman process, is because we need to have had a period of innocent childlike play on play day. So take yourself back to that. I'm not suggesting that all of you had 6.5 hours of effortless childlike play on play day. You probably had some patterns like me too. But there were definitely moments when I let go, and I bet that was true for you too. Yeah, play day was wonderful, Athena. Thank you. And then the next morning is the day before we go home. And very often when I do the breakfast announcement for the dark side to prepare people for that, I say, you know, did anyone wake up this morning with the thought, oh, well, you know, this has been nice, but you know, I've got to go home tomorrow. And that's your dark side's voice. It's saying, you may have let go, you may have dropped your guard with all these lovely, hand-picked, only nice people who get to do the Hoffman process. They must filter out all the unpleasant people, because they're only lovely ones. Not quite true. We become lovely, don't we? Bring out our lovely side on the Hoffman process. And there's this feeling of like, oh, well, what about when I get back to reality? There's that realism word. As if the experience that we had on the Hoffman process wasn't real. So it's very well timed that we start to put our armor back on as the thought of going back home from the Hoffman process takes up. The dark side masquerades as self-preservation. It says, I'm keeping you safe. I'm keeping you safe. What it's really doing is, I'm keeping you in your comfort zone. And as a teacher once said to me, and I'm a slow learner, Matthew, they said, oh, there's the comfort zone, and then there's where the magic happens. And they had to tell me again, there's the comfort zone and it's over here. And then there's where the magic happens. It's not the same place. So it follows that there is a feeling of discomfort when we are transforming, when we are changing, because we are stepping outside the known. We're stepping outside the familiar. But the dark side interprets that as a huge threat to our survival and says, no, 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 don't go there. So all the joy of play day, all the freedom, all the innocence, all the excitement and the spontaneity of play day really freaks the dark side out, and it comes out fighting. It's a bit like poking with it with a stick or rattling its cage. And it is the catalyst that takes us down our left road and the catalyst that launches our vicious circles. So when all our patterns knock one into the other, knock one into the other, and take us round and round in a self-defeating circle, each time we go round, it reinforces our shame belief. I am ugly. I am stupid. I am not good enough. I am weak. I am stupid. Yeah. So what is it? What is the dark side? Well, we turn out to be a very successful species on this planet, don't we? We're the cleverest of all the monkeys on the planet. and we have absolutely dominated life on this earth for good and bad. And we've done so not because we are fiercer, not because we are stronger than other animals. There are many fiercer and stronger animals than us, some with big horns and long teeth and claws that would make, you know, short shrift of us. But we've outdone them, outsmarted them, because of our very big brains and our ability to cooperate. And because we are weaker than other animals, we've evolved this brain, and we've evolved a cautious brain. We have a negative bias on the intellect. That is to say, we are inclined to err on the side of caution as a species. We've been hunter-gatherers for 400,000 years, I think, according to the archaeological record, and only for a few hundred years have we not been, maybe a few thousand, I'm sorry. So it's a blink of an eye that we have been evolutionarily seen, not absolutely constantly concerned with our survival. You know, whether it be, you know, tigers that might eat us or mammoths that might stamp on us or other tribes that might kill us, that's been the largest part of our evolutionary history. So it's contained within us. And in a way, I've heard this expression, which sums up the dark side rather well. In a way, we see a stick and think it might be a snake. We don't see a snake and think it might be a stick. We err on the side of doubt and caution. And this has served our species incredibly well. As you know, can see, we dominate the life on the planet because of that tendency, perhaps. But it ceases to be a helpful part of our makeup when it gets out of balance, and that caution, as it absolutely can do, turns into negativity. One of my colleagues, not in the Hoffman world, but in my other work, tells me the story of their mum. And their mum's an elderly woman who they much, much love, but is prone to very extreme negative thinking. And normally they take care of their mum, but once a year they go on holiday and they leave their mum in the care of someone else. But they always ring up at the airport when they get back, and he tells me, he rings up and goes, "Mum, you're right, we're back." And she goes, "The flights, were they delayed?" And he goes, no, they were on time. He goes, "The weather?" And she goes, "The weather, was it bad? Did it rain?" "No, Mum, no, the weather was lovely. The food though, was it awful? Did you get sick?" "No, Mum, honestly, the food, the weather, the whole holiday was really, really lovely." And it's almost like he had to say, "Look, I'm really sorry, but we had a great time. What can I say, Mum?" You know, and so this is what can happen. We can become so overly cautious that tendency just to be wisely aware of the possibility of danger gets out of balance, and this turns into a kind of great ball of negativity. And it's about our relationship with hope. Hope sounds great, doesn't it? Hope, it sounds almost arousing and exciting and thrilling. Hope feels like a kind of a sort of a positive and wonderful thing. But actually, when we examine our relationship with hope, it's fraught. It's fraught with stress. If you allow yourself to hope for something that you truly, truly yearn for, that your dear heart really longs for and desires, and it's something that you don't yet have in your life, there's a certain vulnerability. The thought, "What if I don't get what I want?" immediately occurs to us. And so this idea of hope being a great thrilling thing is actually a bit of a misnomer, because we remember all our previous losses, especially childhood. So there's this kind of body memory that we have of being innocent little bunnies, little children, with our arms wide open for life and really trusting, especially in our parents. That's before we became sort of arsey teenagers or sort of gobby, rebellious youngsters. This is when we were very, very young. We were very innocently hoping and expecting and trusting that we would have the love that we needed, meeting our own open hearts. And all of us, in one way or another, as we know, were met with some degree of rupture in that hope. It didn't come good. And all our patterns, of course, as you know, developed in a strategy to adapt around that heartbreak and to try and make ourselves safe. The voice that drives those patterns is what we're calling our dark side. So hope is necessarily stressful, necessarily vulnerable, and as we were saying, uncomfortable. If you're thinking of something you truly want and you're not feeling a little bit uncomfortable, it's probably something that you've reduced your hope. You're playing safe. You're probably pitching in with something that you could probably live with. You'd be not indifferent if you didn't get it, but maybe just you could live. So tonight we're going to push that. We're going to take a risk. And all together with the collective energy that we've got of 156 people. Great, isn't it? We're going to come together. We're going to bring our collective energy to risk and dare to be vulnerable and allow ourselves to hope again. Brené Brown, give me a thumbs up if you know who I mean by Brené Brown. Pretty well known, isn't she? Yeah. She is a great blessing to the world. If you don't know her, check her out on YouTube. But what she talks about is a definition of vulnerability. She says that is uncertainty with risk and emotional exposure. So the uncertainty is, I don't know. I can't know if I'm going to get this. And so that means I'm having to live with the discomfort of doubt. That's the uncertainty. The risk, of course, is implied in that. And the emotional exposure means that I have the feelings that I can't hide, or I'm not hiding. I'm allowing them to be seen. The wobbliness, in short. Close your eyes again. Close your eyes again. And focus on something that your heart truly desires, that you don't already have. And it could be anything. And it could be a quality of relationship, maybe a life partner of some kind, or maybe the quality of relationship within a relationship you already have, maybe. And come back to a vision on your own terms of what it is that your heart truly desires. And I was giving you some ideas. It could be some quality of relationship. It could be some quality of fulfillment in work. It could be a state of security of some kind. Maybe material, a need to be safe in the world and a home. Or it could be to do with healing something that's been wounded in your life. It could be a very specific thing. So let yourself be innocent in that desire. And even just in the privacy of your own mind space, let yourself be really honest about what that desire is. If it's a little bit uncomfortable, then well done, because you're in the right place. Make it personal. And dare to push the limits. Really well done. So as you do, in the quietness of your own mind, silently say, this is where I choose to go. This is my choice. This is my intention to manifest this. I want it, and I'm going to gather my resources to make it happen. And listen for your dark side, for it most certainly will pop up. It responds to those kind of daring statements, I will, I am, I choose. Mine pops up, it's a very sarcastic dark side. It says, yeah, right. We'll see about that. So keeping your eyes closed, just listen to what it's saying. You're not talented enough, you're not clever enough, you're not fill in the blank enough. You're too old, over the hill. And it'll be very undermining. Doing another sort of Hoffman thing, are you? It'll say, oh, good luck. So listen carefully to the voice and face it down. Don't flinch. Breathe into your spiritual self. Face it down, you know? Get a little macho with your dark side. Look it right in the eye. Breathe in. Push your shoulders back. Yeah? Go on, let's hear you. Give it some space. Whose voice is it? Is it a parent? Do you recognize a parent in that voice? Or a surrogate parent? An older sibling or a teacher from school, maybe? Maybe there's a voice that is representing the culture that you grew up with. Get back in your box, it might be saying. Stay present to your heart's desire and be aware of what your dark side says. Okay, and if you'd like to open your eyes and if you'd like to make a note on that, there'll be a space in your workbook where you can do that, or you can just use a little blank sheet of paper, or you can just remember it if you don't want to write it down. So what's your heart's desire? And don't shortchange yourself with that. And it'll become clear why in a moment, but don't shortchange yourself. Go for it, go for the whole thing, what your heart truly desires, no matter how unrealistic your dark side may be telling you it is. And also just scribble down a few words about what your dark side says. What are you not enough? So according to your dark side, what are you too much? All righty. So you can keep writing if you need to. But what the dark side does is it falsely empowers us for a short duration with negative thinking. I will explain. Remember that when we hope, we feel this particular stress. The stress comes from the doubt that we can fulfill that hope. Give me a thumbs up if you know what I mean. I'm going to scroll through a few pages. Good, yeah, thumbs up, thank you. So you know what I mean by the stress and anxiety. Now that anxiety can be named. It is a fear, it's a particular fear, and you can call it the fear of heartbreak. Fear of disappointment is too small a word. I would be heartbroken if I didn't manifest this dream. And that fear of that heartbreak sets us up for the false empowerment of negative thinking. When we reduce the level of what we're hoping for down a few notches, what happens? We breathe out. We experience a little relief. When we reduce what we really want down to a level at which we'd be indifferent if we didn't get it, it's peanuts. It's dealt with that stress in all in one go. I don't feel any stress at all. However, it is denial. Is it true that I really want it? Yes. How have I managed that stress? I've managed it by denying what I really want, or at least lowering the level of expectation. Give me a little feedback. Thumbs up again if you know what I'm talking about. Thank you. Good. So what we do is we medicate or anesthetize the fear of heartbreak by reducing our hopes and dreams. Dark side chips in immediately and says, it's not negative thinking. It may be already doing this. This call, you've got to be really hyper alert, hyper vigilant, because your dark side will be wanting to undermine every little thing that you think, everything that I say. And it'll be saying, it's not negative thinking. Who is this hairy git? What's he talking about? It isn't negative thinking. It is realism. Listen to me. And the great thing about realism is it feels empowering. I'm being realistic. I'm facing all the terrible things that might happen. I'm focusing on them and I am ready for them. And I'm all puffed up and bushy-tailed and I'm empowered. I feel strong because I'm in my defense position and I'm ready. I'm ready for the shit that might come my way. Well, spoiler alert, it's not realism. Realism is when we face reality. And in reality, in any setting, there is both positive and negative potential. Correct? Thumbs up, please. Help. There's positive and negative potential in any setting, no matter how good or no matter how bad, there is positive and negative potential. Now, the dark side, and this is the biggest clue if you're having a dark side attack, the dark side will simply focus on the negative. The dark side has not got it in it to acknowledge the possibility of anything positive. So if your thinking is focusing only on the negative, it's not realism. It is, pardon my French, shitism. It is negativism. Focusing on both is realism. Focusing only on the bad is, how come I keep falling for this shit? The dark side lies. Nice one, Oliver. Yeah, focusing only on the negative is not realism, it's negativism. And the sneaky thing about it is it feels empowering. We soothe the fear of heartbreak by lowering our dreams and hopes and expectations. And therefore, it is addictive. Now, addiction may seem too strong a term because you may associate it only with extreme substance abuse. However, an addiction and a pattern, as I'm sure you know, are basically the same thing. They are defined by the lack of choice. It's not the substance or the behavior, it's the relationship with the substance or behavior. We know this because all over the world,
all over the world. Matthew, you're frozen. Oh, and I can't finish a sentence. Anyone want to finish his sentence for him? Matthew? If you can hear me, I'm going to stop your video and see if that will allow a bit more audio. Has he been stolen? Hold on, let's see. Yes, it's the French. They've gone, no, it's too much.
They've gone on strike.
Yeah, it's too much talking about the dark side and the light. Okay. Bear with me, maybe just, the workbooks that you've got, have a little look. I'm going to take myself on mute and actually just give Matthew a quick call and find out how he's doing. Hold on one sec.
Having what he called a martini, and I later discovered martinis are just a great big quantity of very cold gin, it turns out. I didn't know what it was when I was little, but I knew that after one martini he would be approachable and even friendly. But I also discovered that over time that one martini didn't do it anymore. And for him to be approachable and friendly, he would need two. And all of us who are honest about our addictions and our patterns know that we need more and more of the same substance in order to alleviate the same level of stress. And this is true not just with alcohol, it's true with negative thinking. So hands up, and I'll scroll through. Hands up who identifies with a process of over time, maybe not in this moment in your life, but at various moments in your life, where you have recognized that you've got to the point where you're thinking negative thoughts almost compulsively. You know, you wake up, you see something. It could be the toothpaste, it could be the loo seat, it could be the weather, it could be the bus, it could be anything to hang a negative thought on. It becomes, like my friend's mum, a little bit compulsive. Yeah, hands up if you recognize that tendency. Great. So when I get round to it, I've got a book planned. It's probably a book that will never get written, but I do have one planned, and it's going to be called Shit Goggles. Excuse my language. Shit Goggles is the syndrome of allowing that negative thinking, your dark side, of course, to gallop out of control in your life. And what the shit goggles do is that they filter out the positive. Whoa, I don't want the positive. That's fraught with the possibility of disappointment. I'll be disappointed if I let myself, if I risk hoping. Oh, don't want any of that. And it exaggerates and amplifies all the negative. So we are looking at life through a distorted lens. So if nothing else goes in today, this is a really important one. The dark side, what the dark side shows us, is not real. It calls it realism. It calls it reality. It is not real. The good is denied and diminished, and the bad is exaggerated. And over time, we believe what we see. And we know this when we write a hurt or angry email at 2 or 3 in the morning. And if just one beautiful moment of insight allows us to not press send, and we look at it again at 11 or 12 o'clock the next day, maybe even over tea, you know, and we look at it, we think, oh my God, what was I thinking? Thank God I didn't send it. Or heartbreakingly, and I've been one of them, I'm afraid, heartbreakingly, why did I send that? Looking at it now, I don't even think those things anymore. That is, of course, a dark side attack. And over time, we believe what we see. Until if we allow ourselves, if we indulge this dark side long enough, incrementally, we are unable to see the good about ourselves or life at all, and that is one definition of depression. Ergo, depression is addictive because, like wine and drugs, it momentarily relieves stress. It feels good for a moment, but it sets us up for a crash, which feeds the next round of acting out. So patterns are addictions, they're compulsive, and the dark side feeds our patterns. Okay. Let us stop being theoretical about it. Let us invite the dark side to come into our collective space to be looked at in the eye. Now, the way we're going to do that is by being absurdly positive altogether. So, Serena, is it possible to unmute everybody altogether in 1 second?
It'll become incredibly noisy.
I know, it will only be for 1 second.
For 1 second, yep, absolutely.
A couple of seconds.
So just let me know when.
Ready for a big noise. What we're going to say all together is, I'm going to live the most beautiful, passionate, and creative life. I thought I came up with that as a very absurdly positive, like wonderfully positive thing to say. So I'm going to live the most beautiful, passionate, and creative life. Okay. Do we all agree that that's positive? That positive enough for you? Brilliant. Okay. So unmute. Unmute everybody. Almost.
One, two, three.
It's beautiful.
Live the most beautiful, passionate, and creative life.
Out of control. Thank you. Fantastic. All right. So close your eyes and say that to yourself just silently. I'm going to live the most beautiful, passionate, and fulfilling life. I'm going to live the most beautiful, passionate, creative life. All right. Of course, your dark side isn't going to let that one sit. No, you're not, it says. So listen to what it says. Go back to what you truly hope for. Re-envision what you truly hope for. And remember, your dark side will be trying to play safe and it'll be going, oh no, we'll drop down a couple of rungs. Let's not go for that one. Let's go for something a bit more realistic. Go back to the one you really want. Is it a truly fulfilling relationship? Is it a rewarding job? Is it to publish a novel? Is it, what is it? Is it to get well in a way if you're not so well? And listen to what your dark side's saying. Not lovable enough, not clever enough, not talented, over the hill, it's too late. And now become aware of the patterns that dark side message leads you into. Is it isolation? Is it procrastination? Is it self-criticism? Thank you, opening your eyes. Thank you. Who would it be that would be bold enough to share those three things with us in the group? Would anyone be willing to open up a little bit and just hear, what is it? I mean, even just to give yourself the experience of being witnessed in front of a group of wholehearted, lovely people, as you say, what I really want is, my heart's desire is. And then tell us what your dark side says, and then tell us the patterns that you go into. Anyone willing to share, just unmute and go ahead.
My biggest, most passionate thing is to give birth to my own child.
Yeah.
Which is...
You're feeling it, Lainey. It's... You're right in the right zone. Thank you for being vulnerable with that. What does your dark side tell you?
It's telling me that I'm too old. I've left it too late. We've tried, it's not worked. And that it's never going to happen. And I should go for adoption because it's not worth me. I'm not worthy of being a mum.
Yeah, I mean, it's really saying, why tantalise yourself with false hope? Do yourself a favour, chop it down a little. Yeah, wonderful. All right, what patterns does that lead you into, Blaney? If you listen to that, that soundtrack is going around your head. Where on your left road does that lead you?
It makes me procrastinate. We're thinking about going for IVF. It makes me think it's not worth it. Makes me believe that it won't work. It's just the negativity.
Thinking pattern there and some procrastination.
Yeah.
Sorry, I missed that last bit.
That it's out of my control, and so there's nothing I can do about it.
So you've illustrated it beautifully, and we'll hear from others, but I'm sure we'll see the same thing. The dark side preemptively makes us cut our nose off, doesn't it? We preemptively bring about our own demise because somehow it feels more empowering if we're doing it rather than life's doing it to us. So all those patterns, especially the procrastination, which, if as I understand what you're saying, time is relevant to what you're talking about, even the delay then also undermines the possibility, doesn't it? So it's always nothing but negative. Really honest and sweetly vulnerable. Thank you, Blaney. Anyone else want to share? What's your heart's desire? What does your dark side say? What patterns does that lead you to act out?
To find home.
Lizzie, hi.
Hi. To have a home and to find home, to find out where I belong in the world. I
totally relate to that. So to find a home. Now, what does your dark side tell you?
That I can't even find love. How the hell am I going to find a home? Just give up, numb out, just give up, just hide,
okay.
It's a real numbing out. It's really just so inactive.
Okay. And then what patterns does that, maybe numbing out is a pattern, of course, but what actual behavioral, emotional or thinking patterns do you go into when you've got that soundtrack going around?
Oh God, I just, procrastination, sleeping, avoiding any opportunity where I could be right now in Switzerland learning German or looking for land or, you know, and I just say, oh, well, it's this, you know, the coronavirus, there's no point even looking anywhere in the world. It's just completely...
I'm glad you mentioned coronavirus because, of course, it's a feeding frenzy for the dark side, coronavirus, isn't it? It's so absolute, you know, wonderful opportunity for saying, see, it's officially all shit. Yeah, yes. Absolutely. Thank you. And again, Lizzie, what we have there is the self-sabotage of it, that the kind of self-damaging, absolutely. I'm reminded of the period of time in my life when I was probably about 12 or 13, and we were in school and there were people who said they were going out with people. It was a bit of a mystery. I was still a bit young and innocent. I didn't know what going out meant. I don't think anyone else did either, but I did notice that some people were saying, I'm going out with so-and-so and so-and-so is going out with so-and-so. And then what would happen would be, I might have persuaded someone to say, okay, I'll go out with you. And then someone would say, oh, I hear so-and-so chucked you or dumped you. And immediately out of my mouth would come, no, I dumped them first. You know, don't make no mistake, I wasn't the one who was rejected. Now, of course, that I chucked you first thing is what we're doing with ourselves. We're breaking faith with ourselves to somehow preserve some kind of dignity with ourselves, to hide our shame belief. Identify, please, the pattern that your dark side starts you off on. Of course, it's going to be a vicious circle and there will be many patterns. Isolation and avoidance is a big one. Procrastination is a big one of the dark side, because basically it's saying, don't invest energy in manifesting your vision. You'll just get hurt, is what it's saying. So write down, please, the big pattern that you go into that perhaps launches all the others. Because if we can get to grips with that one, when I'm in a dark place, I don't want to go out, I don't want to speak with anyone. There's the isolation in Athena, thank you, yeah. Yeah, certainly a big one for me. I know that I can experience social anxiety. In my life, it took me a long time to identify that that's what it was, because I was very well groomed by the schooling system and the class that I grew up in, and being anxious socially was so unacceptable that I denied it in myself. But I did also notice that, particularly when I stopped smoking, I would need to, I don't know, do something like maybe go to the loo quite soon after arriving at a party, because at least even if I didn't need the loo, just for a second, I could just sort of gather myself. And it's that need to isolate, maybe, that's certainly one that I recognize.
Matthew, if you've got time for one more share, Josh was patiently waiting.
Oh, Josh, please do. Go ahead. Hello, Josh. Nice to see you.
Yeah, you too. I was just sort of not feeling embarrassed anymore about who I am and what I do. And sort of like, yeah, it just sort of cripples me. I just get crippled by complete fear about doing anything. And like on the process, when it was like chatting about when we did the dancing round in silly costumes or whatever it is, I couldn't do it. I ran off. I was like, I couldn't deal with it. It was horrible. And I just, yeah, I've had enough of it. I just want to be appreciate who I am and what I do rather than just sort of running away.
So it's very interesting. Play Day, of course, is a happy hunting ground for dark side patterns, isn't it? It calls for a level of exposure and self-revelation. And dark side will be, for some of us, hugely active in a situation like that. It'll be saying, don't do that. You will become unlovable. You will expose yourself. Very often it capitalizes on the negative thoughts about that we have about ourselves anyway. It'll say others see you as you see yourself. Yeah, and you're getting a bit of a kind of a validation there from some people making notes on the chats there, Josh. You're not alone. So
yeah, sorry,
go ahead.
No, I was just like, I was just saying like, yeah, completely fuck that. I don't want to be part of this mess. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I mastered myself behind sort of substances and drink and stuff like that. And I couldn't do it in that situation. So I had to get out. I had to get out. It was horrible.
So I was just going to say the pattern is paralysis followed by, you know, running.
Yeah.
Running away, escaping. Brilliant. Well identified, and sorry if you had your hand up and I didn't see you. Thanks for sharing. And by the way, I remember that. It's nice to see you. All right, and interesting to see that you came through it. It's worth saying you came through it somehow. Get that pattern in your mind. Get that pattern in your mind. It's important that you have one. What is the pattern that launches your dark side, launches you off on your big vicious circles, dark side driven vicious circles? Could be, as Josh was just saying, a kind of paralysis first, or it could be a running away, or as others have said, isolation. And as so many have said, procrastination, just putting off starting something. And close your eyes. And let's get to work on that pattern. So closing your eyes, allow yourself to go into a memory from your adult life of you in that pattern. You in the grip of a dark side attack, and you're in that pattern. And even if it is uncomfortable, let yourself go there. Closing your eyes is good because you'll be undistracted, and it's only your intellect that can discern between what we call real and what we call imagined. For your emotional child and your body, you can really go into that memory and bring it to life, even if, if it's uncomfortable. Notice how you're feeling in that memory, emotionally. And allow those feelings to come up in you right now. Where are they in your body? Notice your thoughts, and of course these thoughts are all dark side messages. So let the tape run, let the dark side do its worst, go on. you're too this, you're too that, you're not this enough, you're not enough that. There's no point. Be realistic. Don't invest your energy into that. It will come to nothing. You're too old. It's too late. And notice what happens when you think those thoughts and feel those feelings and allow the memory to act out. Really see yourself acting out the pattern, actually living it out. What is it? Is it soothing in some way? Are you medicating in some way? Is it a vindictiveness pattern? Are you being cruel and unkind to yourself? Cutting your own nose off to spite your face? Are you harming yourself in some way, explicitly or implicitly? Are you breaking your own dreams? What are you doing that is reducing the possibility of fulfillment? What kind of a mood or atmosphere have you created around yourself in this pattern? See the pattern acting out and see the vicious circle beginning. Activating your shame belief, I am. Now notice where in your body this pattern is most alive in you. And you'll know that because you'll feel it as a pain or a stress or a tension. Maybe one you know really, really well, one that comes up a lot. Maybe one that you're just feeling for the first time today. Place one hand on that part of your body, the center of that stress point, just one hand there, keeping your eyes closed. Really get a grip of it, and if you can, speak out loud. You don't have to unmute, just speak out loud. What color is it? If you knew, what color is it in your body? What shape is it, this pattern, as it's manifesting in your body there in that pain? What texture? Really get your hand around it, this manifestation of your dark side there in your body. Just get a good grip of it. Get a good grip of it and hold your other hand out, palm up. All right. This is your dark side pattern coming out. You're going to rip it out on the count of three. You're going to rip it out. Keep your eyes closed and you're going to get to work on it in both hands. So one, two, three, rip it out, slap it in the other hand and start to rub your hands together. Now this is where you get your give a shit pants on. This is where you gird your loins. This is where you draw in your spiritual strength, because what you're going to do is shine your beautiful light on that dark side. You're going to transform it with energy, with heat, with pressure, and with love. So really, really fast. Don't stop. Keep going. Really, really fast. Really, really hot. Really, really generating a huge amount of heat to transform the energy of that pattern. Now, on the count of three, keeping your eyes closed, you're going to hold your hands a few inches apart. I'm dragging out because I'm really hoping that you've got your back into this and maybe even getting a bit of a sweat up. So one, two, three, keep your eyes closed and move your hands around this incredible ball of energy, transformed energy, a beautiful remedy made out of the toxicity of the pattern, a bit like a vaccination, an inoculation. So take this energy ball, hold it up to your eyes and look right into that whole universe. Extraordinary, firing off in all directions, this incredible universe of energy that you have transformed that pattern into. And in a moment, you'll get a message. It'll just come to you. It could be a word. Maybe you'll see a symbol or an object or an animal or something, but you'll see something. It'll come to you. And it'll be an encouraging symbol of some kind. And you get it on the count of three. One, two, three. And it's the first thing you think of right now? What is that message, energy? What is your spiritual self just spontaneously told you? Now take that energy ball, put it back in your body where you took it out. And with love, with real love, massage that beautiful, perfect remedy into your body where you took it out, and soothe and heal that part of you. Become aware of that healing spreading out from where you're rubbing it back in. Maybe it has a color, a beautiful new color now that's intensifying and glowing as you breathe it down to your feet, and you breathe it back up through your legs, through your hips, your reproductive system, into your tummy, your lower back. Breathe it into your chest and throw your shoulders back as you fill yourself up with your own transformed healing energy. And step back into that memory where the same events, exactly the same events, unfold. However, this is you. This is the real you. You remember what your dark side told you, and you know it was a lie. Step into that space, spiritual self. You're in the light now. Let the same events unfold and watch as you feel different emotions. What emotions are alive in you now? Feel them. Listen to the affirmations of your spiritual self. I am. I feel. I choose. I want. I will. And notice that by thinking such different thoughts and by feeling differently, you're also acting differently. See yourself handling the same stimulus, the same triggers, with consummate ease. You're a naturally thriving spiritual self, conscious, present, connected, wise. And perhaps one quality more than any other is supporting this incredible, potentialized, positive scene. Is it courage? Is it love? Is it wisdom? Is it patience? Kindness? Patience, you know, easy, warm, good humor? Is it fun? Is it play? Is it creativity? Sensitivity? So quietly in your own mind, affirm that. I am. I am. Brave. I am loving. I am wise. I am kind. And in this moment, feel yourself in this community, over 150 people, all holding hands around a beautiful fire in the middle. See yourself stepping up to that fire. Throw your dark side into your fire. And take in with a little eye contact the spiritual selves that are surrounding you, the loving tribe that you are part of. And say to them, the dark side told me that I was, that was a lie. And in the light, I am. Now for me, the dark side told me that I would always be self-loathing and shy and play small. And in the light, I'm wise and I'm easy. So keep those words going around in your mind and allow your eyes to open. And if anyone would like to share, the dark side told me that was a lie. In the light, I am. Just unmute yourself and feel free to share. Derek, I can see yours written down. Feel free to share to the group if you like. Just unmute. Yeah, please do. Who is that?
Jenny.
Oh, hello, Jenny. Hi.
Hi. The dark side told me that I was vindictive and joyless and mean and full of fear and panic. But I'm not. I am full of joy. I'm not panic-stricken about the future. I trust, I'm loving, and I can love and give love.
Yes, you are, and yes, you can. That's a collective. Yes, you are, and yes, you can. Thank you, Jenny. Anyone else?
Last week.
Yes, all together. Yes, you can. Thank you. Go on. Let's hear one more. Go on.
I'll go.
Lovely. Yeah. Who's speaking?
Yeah, so the dark side told me that I'd never be good enough and that I'd never fulfill my own potential. And in the light, I am bold, I'm courageous, and I'm kind.
Yes, you are. Nice to see you again, Tom.
Yeah, yeah. Thank
you. Yeah. And I just caught a glimpse of your chat there, Rupert. Did you want to share that? But would you like to share what you wrote there? I just saw what you were writing. It looked lovely.
Yeah, no, for me, it was, I guess, tonight is just about coming from a difficult space in you know, work environments at the moment, dealing with a lot. And I think within 15 minutes, that dark side, all the negativity that surrounds me, I can just go into a different space, and it's just, it's glorious. It really is. The shift is just seismic.
Really nice to see you again.
I just love, now I can go back downstairs to see my children and go, I feel like a different person already. So it's this kind of release, it's collective release, I feel. With everybody, it has a sort of, I don't know, it's like a drug almost. I take a pill and I just feel so much better. So
it's a conscious choice, isn't it? And a collective thing, bigger than the sum of our parts. Rupert, thank you very much. So dear everybody, thank you, whether you shared, whether you didn't. Come back to that I am. Come back to that in the light I am. In the light I am. In the light I am wise. In the light I am peaceful. In the light I am loving. I got a little homework to do if you're willing to accept this, and you'll find a space in the back of your workbook. You don't need to look now. It's a very simple bit of homework. For the next two weeks, give yourself a supercharge, a launch down your right road. Okay, give yourself the enormous blessing of having an accelerated 2 weeks of spiritual growth. Okay. Moving towards your vision, manifesting your vision. What is the Hoffman process? People ask me endlessly when I carelessly say what I do at, you know, in social events. Well, what it is it just a rather wonderful and very well established personal development workshop that helps people live lives that they really want to live, rather than lives they feel stuck living in because of their childhoods. That's all it is. So for the next 2 weeks, what you're going to do is write down 3 things I love about myself from today. And that will be the day. Today begins with the I am. Write them as an I am. So write them. Today I was good-natured. I got into a freezing cold swimming pool because my very impatient youngster really wanted me to. Did I particularly want to? No, I'm Mediterranean blooded. It's very Northern Europe feeling swimming pool to me. It's not, you know, but I did. So what is that? I'm kind. I'm going to take it, put it in the bank. three things like that. Three things, of course, that you're grateful for. This isn't rocket salad, as my friend says. Or science, if you prefer. Three things that I love about myself from today, three things that I'm grateful for in my life. As someone you can share that with, and that either be, might be in person as you put your head on the pillow together, or if it's not, in a little phone call or a chat with someone in your house, share it with them to invite them to share that with you. If you do nothing else, it'll enrich your next 2 weeks. There is another bit of homework, which is to capitalize on the recycling that you've just done. So in the morning, just for 2 minutes, revisit the positive scene that you just recycled. You do not have to go back to the negative scene. You do not have to do this. You do not have to look into the energy ball. You just go back into the positive scene. If you need a little reminder, close your eyes right now. Reactivate that positive scene that you were just in, where the I am was true. And all I'm saying is, for 2 minutes each morning, allow yourself the enormous pleasure of just lying back in a deck chair and watching a movie of yourself, just really handling life well, you know, let that inform your day. So three things I love about myself from today, three things I'm grateful for in my life every night and every morning, 2 minutes of that recycling. And you watch your programming unscramble. You watch yourself start to write the script of your life. We have got 1 minute left, or 1.5 minutes left. And what we're going to do in that 1.5 minutes is we're going to do a collective dark side stomp. So what we're going to do is a dark side stomp. You'll remember on the Hoffman process, we did a huge ritual with 24 of you sitting in a circle, drawing its face, writing what the bloody thing says, writing the consequences of it, and tribally gathering together and drumming on the old bastard and bringing back that sense of light. That's a big production. Quite hard to do virtually, and also quite hard to do in terms of, you need a bit of a tribe around you. So I would say you could do that, but it'll take a little bit. Far more readily available, excuse me, is the dark side stomp. The dark side stomp is very simply this. In a moment, Serena will undo the mute, so we can all make a brilliant noise together. I can destroy my laptop quickly here. And so I'm going to ask that you're up on your feet, because we have to get our intentional, you know, body moving here. So if you're up on your feet, get a bit of a limber up, give one leg a bit of a shake, give your arms a little bit of a shake. All right. Now remember, the thing that invites the dark side in more than anything else is positivity. So bring into your mind right now the thing that your heart truly desires. And you know you're there if you're feeling a little vulnerable. You don't have to feel all gung-ho. You can feel a bit wobbly. It's all right. Now, because we need something to say all together, we're going to say, I'm going to manifest my vision. I'm going to manifest my vision. When we say it, immediately what we'll find is our dark side chirps up and it says, oh no, you won't. Then what we're going to do, and I will guide you through this, then what we're going to do is rip our dark sides out of our body, throw them on the ground, and jump out of up and down on them and shout, oh yes, I will. Okay, all together. So are you ready for that? Give me a thumbs up if you're ready. I don't know if a dark side stomp has ever been done by 148 people in one setting all around the world in one go ever before. This could be a world first. So unmute, please. Serena Gordon, unmute. And let me guide you. I hope you can still hear me. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Now bring in what you truly desire, what you truly want. Really vision it, and even if it feels vulnerable, really vision it. Really picture it.
And then all together, I will manifest my vision. Go on, one, two, three. Close your eyes again. Put your hand on your heart. Feel your dear heart beating. Your beautiful, beautiful big heart beating. And breathe down some light from above. Let it nourish you. Let it heal the place in your body where your dark side has resided. Come back into your I am. And as you do, if you can, take a deliberate and symbolic step forward and to the right. One, two, three, boom. All right.